It's episode 87 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm Chris Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we welcome back author Matt King to discuss Return of the Jedi. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Finally, have gotten around to, we actually made it in August. We finally have gotten around to talk about what we all agree is the worst of the original Star Wars trilogy.
It's not close. It's not close here, folks. This is not up for debate. There's no argument here. This is a fact.
Episode 6, Return of the Jedi, and discussing with us again is author Matt King. Welcome back, Matt.
Well, hello.
Let's dive right in. We all watched the movie separately this last week, and I watched it last night, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, this movie's not that great. Whereas Empire, I'm like, man, this movie's fucking awesome. It's the greatest movie ever. Return of the Jedi, I'm just like, the first scene with Darth Vader when he walks in, I'm like, this is pretty cool. All right. The second Death Star, I don't know about that. That's kind of hacky, but okay. Here he comes. This is good. And then they cut to Tatooine and C-3PO and R2-D2 walking to
a Muppet factory.
A
Muppet factory. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And not only that, but like this is like the worst plot of them all too. Like it just completely falls apart in so many areas of the plot of this story.
Yeah.
Like this elaborate plan of them getting to Jabba and then,
yeah,
like why did Luke? Why didn't you just go to begin with? I don't. Why is
yeah?
Why
I don't Leia know why.
There? Why is Leia even there without you? You're the Jedi. I don't. Yeah. What is this going? If you plan on killing Jabba, why are you waiting until you're on a ship? And why do you need? And why do you need the help of Lando? I don't know. Seems like you could have done this anyway. It actually seems like it might have been really a lot easier had you just done it inside the palace. I don't know.
As Han Solo points out. Luke's crazy. Han Solo, still the most sensible guy in Star Wars universe.
And they have the nerve to give Boba Fett the pussiest, stupidest send-off ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that Max von Sydow rumor turned out to be true.
God, that was the worst.
Oh, you haven't heard that?
No.
The rumor is that Max von Sydow is going to be Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Which means he lived, which is good.
Well, yeah, I get that part. It's not like possible. Live from the Sarlacc.
Yeah, I just, oh my God, you see him just flying in the background, and you literally hear, like you hear one of those comically bad like screams.
It wasn't even the Wilhelm scream either.
No,
it was like a wow.
No, it was the worst. It's just like, come on, man. This guy's a badass.
Yeah,
and. The motherfucker's got a jetpack on. What's he doing? Flopping through the sand anyway. Just turn that fucker on and fly away.
Yeah,
what
but
are you doing, man?
That's one of the worst things about it is they turned on the jetpack in this one. And yeah. It's like, you know, 60s Superman. He's like,
he flies into the Sarlacc pit. Like, what are you doing?
It is so stupid.
I did not know you were that pissed about it. Holy
you can almost
shit.
See the line that's dragging
it's,
him up. But
it's
just so, like,
it's really bad.
You know, when
I'm that. Not a fan.
Yeah.
But really, the thing that killed this one, let's not pussyfoot around anymore. It's the Ewoks. The Ewoks destroyed Star Wars. Nub nub. I hate the fucking Ewoks.
I don't like that they were such an integral part of the.
No,
the plot, but I liked them as creatures.
I hated them.
They just needed to be more background.
The problem with the Ewoks is that, well, we'll get to the Ewoks. Yeah, let's talk about the beginning.
African
first.
Tribes.
You're God, but we're not going to listen to anything you say. We will worship you, but not to the extent that we will.
We are so scared
we
of
will
you.
Be commanded by
our deity. Like, we will not let these people go on your command.
What is going on here?
I did like that scene, though, when Luke uses the Force. That was awesome. Yeah, that was a great scene.
But it made no sense whatsoever.
Because clearly, instead of, you know, using the Force, I don't know, untie himself or something like that, let's just raise up this guy.
Yeah.
Let's just do that.
Yeah. So,
that's always a problem with the Force. I mean, you wonder why it's used when it is all the time.
I mean, that continues into the prequels.
That's what I mean. You know, but anyway,
we're gonna have a field day.
But clearly in this movie, I'm like, Luke, you were really going to run your ass to make plot points here because
Folks, I'm pretty sure the prequel episodes are going to be about 2.5 hours long, so yeah. Get ready to settle in. I'm not going to run through the whole plot of Return of Jedi.
And by the way, as much as I'm knocking on this movie, I still, consider it canon for Star Wars. And
well, that's, glad you do, because everybody else does too.
You know what I'm saying? Like I still like the movie,
yeah,
because it's a part of Star Wars as a whole. But I'm discussing it in reference to the first two.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely the weakest of the first three. Yeah. The but
compared to the prequels.
Yeah, I still have reverence to the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
From the get-go, like I said, they go to Jabba's Muppet Factory, which is fine. They want to have the alien creatures in there. It's just in Star Wars, everything felt like there was a lot of fantasy in the first Star Wars, like we discussed on the Empire Strikes Back episode. Empire Strikes Back is clearly the most sci-fi of all of them. Star Wars had a lot of fantasy in it, but it felt natural. It felt like a natural extension of the world. Jabba's Palace felt like, how many creatures we can jam in here. And it felt more fantasy than sci-fi. Yeah,
this one feels a lot more like
the Muppet Show.
Lead in to the prequels, unfortunately. Like the way it's made. It's got
some hints.
You get the semblance of actually the more so the prequels than you do like Empire, and that's a big problem.
In fact, I believe at one point during the Rancor fight, this might have been the edition that I have, because there's several editions of the movie out there. They actually did cut to Waldorf and Statler as Luke was fighting the Rancor. It was very interesting. I that might not be in all of them.
Sam the Eagle was actually in the...
And then Rebo just covered up his eyes. Oh!
Yeah. Don't you ever besmirch Max Rebo and the Max Rebo band.
They turned him into a joke.
No, they turned his lead singer. They turned his lead singer into a joke. Basically,
I'm pretty sure she was just dancing around.
I watched.
My favorite character in this movie though is
the Rancor Keeper.
The Rancor.
Yeah.
Big Bong.
Big Bong.
No, Bibbs Fortuna. I like Bibbs.
Oh yeah. He must be allowed to speak. You fucking idiot! Get out of here.
He's like Jabba's right hand man.
Yeah.
And Salacious Crumb.
Salacious Crumb. Yeah. When Princess Leia gets in the slave costume, he's just looking at her like, I know where it's at. So Jabba the Hutt, I remember watching the making of Return of Jedi. It was like a special on CBS when this movie came out in 83, because this movie's that old now. Jabba the Hutt, there was about like 6 people that operated Jabba the Hutt. He was fully, you might not know it from watching the first Star Wars when they just, shoved him into the movie. No, Jabba was a real creature. He was a puppet that they created, and it was about 6 or 7 people operating him. So one guy did the tail, the other guys did the arms, they did the blinking. They also had a lot of puppeteers for the singer, Cy Snoodles, which then George Lucas shit all over in the new versions where he made her all CGI.
All CGI.
Right out of a PlayStation 2 game. Yeah. That's what she looks like. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. And the song that they stuck into the special editions and future editions of Star Wars, Return of the Jedi, is stupid.
Yeah, it's distractingly bad.
Yeah.
It's you can just tell, you're watching the movie and it's going, and then you can say, oh, well, this is exactly where he's inserted something new into it, because it's so out of place.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be in the movie at all. It's so terrible.
Did you figure out what the little guy reminded you of?
No, I keep trying to think of it.
I think he's like the honeycomb guy. The lead singer.
He's like the honeycomb guy. He is like that new honeycomb guy. Hair all over the place. Oh, yeah. Just like a fucking honeycomb guy.
That was clearly inserted for the children.
And then they even bothered. It wasn't. They even changed the end song.
Yes.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
What do you care? You don't even like the Ewoks.
But Nub Nub. I mean, the Nub Nub song.
He appreciates their top 40 potential.
Yeah.
He's Jerry Heller from Straight Outta Compton.
But then we talked about, you and I talked about this earlier, the very creepy Boba Fett moment they had during that story.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like hitting on women.
Yeah.
He's like that, standing on the corner, like got his little drink in hand.
Hey, baby.
He's like leaning against the wall.
The
still in mask, though. Still in full costume.
No, the allure of Boba Fett was totally murdered in this movie.
Yeah.
He's just made out to be such a chump.
So bad. He's like,
The other thing that I didn't like...
Here's the other thing. It was sticking on the Boba Fett
right.
train for a second. You know, he's not like he's a hired hand. Like he's not like Jabba's bitch.
Right. Yeah.
He's a hired bounty hunter who Jabba happened to hire.
Right.
So, you know, him hanging out at Jabba's lair just
didn't make any sense.
It's not like he just delivered. You might argue
that, you know, maybe he was working with Jabba again or something like that, but you get the feeling like this is just what he does.
Hmm. Yeah. That didn't make any sense. The other thing I didn't like about the movie in general, and it doesn't happen until later in the movie, is what I like to call the pussification of Han Solo. Where he went from being this badass guy, and then he just becomes like a total whipped bitch.
You know what? I was going to bring that up later and proceed to watch you get mad. But
no, when I watched it again last night, I liked the development of his and Leia's relationship. But Han Solo just kind of becomes like almost like just straight comic relief in this movie. And it's just sad. He was naturally funny in Star Wars.
It's exactly the same.
And it became forced in Jedi.
This is clearly much larger extent, but it's all the same thing we're talking about with Boba Fett.
Yeah.
They took this badass character and then they just dumbed him down and made him a stupid bumbling idiot.
This movie very much reminded me of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade in that... In this regard. The Raiders of the Lost Ark, everything is done in very proportionate means. There's just the right amount of comedy, right amount of romance, the action, all this. Everything is like right on the level. In Last Crusade, they said, let's make this funny.
They turned Marcus into a bumbling fool.
He's a bumbling idiot. Saul is a bumbling fool. Yeah. And that's what they did in Jedi. Last Crusade is a better movie.
Right.
But that's what I mean. They upped the comedy factor for no fucking reason. But there is some stuff in it that is pretty funny. I mean, Han Solo does have some good lines in this, but
And he's still Han Solo. I mean,
right.
You still love the guy. But you just...
After seeing this, you can see why he had been reluctant to come back.
You're like, come on, in the mirror of... he says, I love you, and Leia says, That would have almost been okay had it not been for all the other stuff.
Yeah.
You might be able to forgive that. But, yeah.
It was... You know, you were going on about how this is sort of like a... You get hints of what's coming in the prequels with Return of the Jedi. And that's another thing I think Lucas is... You know, it's poetry. It rhymes. You know.
Here's my favorite worst scene. Return of the Jedi. Standing outside the Endor moon base.
Right.
Han Solo runs by like three stooges, like whoop, 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 just taps the guy on the shoulder, and then runs away. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah.
But all he had, you've already snuck up on the motherfucker. All you had to do is take your blaster
shoot
out.
Shoot him in the face.
All you had to do is take your blaster out. Well, you've already snuck up on him. What are you like tapping on the shoulder like playing the game for? Like
here's another question.
Why not just pants him?
Here's another question I have about that bunker. Apparently, the Empire never invested in
security
cameras.
They're just in there. No.
I wonder what's going on outside.
Knock, knock, knock. Who could that possibly be?
Oh, we lost the war. That's too bad.
No.
So, yeah, the Jabba scene, I liked the Rancor fight. I thought that was very well done. They were going to try and do a man in a suit in that, and it didn't work at all. They said it looked like shit, so they went to stop motion with Phil Tippett. I did like Jabba for the most part. He was a good villain.
But that whole part
in the movie just feels like disconnected.
It does. But he is at least the one part that's like in this movie that's ruthless.
Yeah,
you know, he's still who he is. You know, he's Jabba.
I mean,
he's not giving up Han. He's
He's
killing these fuckers. He's trying to kill.
He's not giving into the mind tricks.
Right.
Yeah. But that brings us to what happens after they leave Jabba. Is we finally get introduced to the biggest D-bag in Star Wars canon, the Emperor. What an asshole that guy is! I mean, he's like, the way he talks to Darth Vader in this, he's like an annoyed father talking to his hated son. He's like, I thought I told you to stay on the command ship! He's like...
You know you're my bitch. Do my bidding.
I mean... You talk about what they did to Boba Fett. They totally make Darth Vader a bitch in this movie. I mean, he's
he's
like,
bitchified.
I told you to stay on the command ship.
Yes, Daddy.
Get my milk. And then the other thing is, too, is I'm like the guards, the Emperor's guard, they look cool as shit in that red. But I'm like, what does he even need them for? It's like what? It's like, do they have the Force? Yeah. It's like that. Nothing's really made clear in this.
This is a tangent thought, but I want to get it in before I forget it.
Right.
This makes me wonder, after watching this though and hearing us talk about this, I do wonder, will Luke be bad in the new movie? Because they alluded to it in this one. You know, I have foreseen this.
Yeah.
Maybe he just foresaw it a lot later. Because the whole idea of this movie is that, just like, you know, Obi-Wan and Yoda had foreseen these prophecies, the Emperor foresees Luke becoming joining them on the dark side. That's what he's seen. So it could be.
It's possible.
Yeah. 30 plus years later, he actually has become.
Well, they talk about. I mean, we'll go off on the tangent. Then talking about the new movie, they've been talking about Kylo Ren and all this stuff and how Darth Vader relates to him and stuff like that.
And they said, like, this is not the villain you think it is. Like,
yeah, and they say, you know, what they do say is that they're kind of coming at this from the point of view of the Empire a little bit, where, like, what if you were sympathetic to the Empire, and what if Darth Vader, you saw him as a martyr? And I was like, that's a very cool way to go about it. We won't be getting any Ewoks.
Not to mention, just like history does, this is a lot later. So
yeah,
history
is written by the winners.
Historical revision, right?
Yeah.
After so long, things can look different. Yeah. The Empire can be seen upon differently.
Yeah.
The Ewoks might have been serial murderers.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Might have been. And let's talk about Luke bitching up again. He's just got a very mildly sharp stick pointed at him. He's all like,
"What?"
You know,
on Endor.
You know, like
when they're captured. When they're captured,
right?
You know, it's just like,
no, he was just like that, and Han Solo starts pulling his gun out. He's like, "I'm gonna shoot these motherfuckers." And he's just like, "Don't. It's okay. It's okay. Gonna be okay."
Yeah, and when would Han Solo give into that and not just pull out his fucking blaster?
This is a carbonite. He made him soft in the head.
It did make him soft. That's what we got to attribute this to.
Yeah. They go.
I can see a little better now. I see light instead of dark.
It's because you're in the sun, asshole. That is a great line, though. I used to live here, you know. Yeah, you're gonna die here.
Convenient.
Probably the best line. One of the best lines.
Yeah. Saves on funeral expenses. Yeah. You're also introduced to probably one of the most popular internet Star Wars characters, Admiral Ackbar.
It's a trap.
Move your feet away from the Death Star.
With your eyes on either side of your head, how is everything not a trap to you? You can't see anything in front of you.
And then they also go into
my favorite is Robot Chicken. They do like Admiral Ackbar cereal.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's fish, a little fish pieces.
I remember a lot about Return of the Jedi, and this was after it had come out. I got one of those Mad magazine collections, and they had like, I guess it was a flashback to 83, and they had like Rocky 3, they had Return of the Jedi in there, and like every time I'm watching this movie, I think about that mad story comic. You know, we're like Han Solo's like, you know, when he comes out the carbonite and he kisses Leia and she's and in the mat, she's like, "Oh my god, how long have you been in there? For like a year? Talk about morning breath and all this shit." It's just like they take off Darth Vader's helmet, he's like, "Rah!" It's like he's a more drucker, I think, Drew it is fucking hilarious.
I just picked this movie apart, I guess that's what we're doing here. That scene when Leia does get him out of the carbonite. You know, Jabba's a pretty big guy. How are they hiding off in the corner? How's he all of a sudden hiding off in the corner with all his buddies?
Yeah. That's like, the other thing. They were like, all there, all awake. No one's making any noise.
No one did. You just see him in the corner go,
I know. Guys, this could be great. Watch this. Even 3PO's back there.
Yeah.
Well, they were holding his mouth. They were holding his mouth. Yeah,
and then it's just like, ha ha, surprise! We're all right here!
Because Jabba is a gay cabaret.
As if you could just like wheel him, you know, off into a corner.
So Then we're introduced to the leaders of the rebellion, which we were supposed to meet Mon Mothma in episode 3 as well. There was a scene where a younger version of her was supposed to be in it. And then they say, yeah, we're going to do the same thing we did in the first movie. So they send...
It's like poetry.
Rhymes. Again, I've said this before, if you can get a hold of the annotated screenplays from Star Wars, it goes through all the early versions of this and stuff like that. It was actually a lot weirder, a lot more fantasy. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi was supposed to come into it at the end and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, it's weird stuff. And the second Death Star wasn't really supposed to, you know, I forget when they came up with that. Or there was supposed to be two Death Stars, some of that. It was crazy, crazy. The other thing that's major, which I mentioned, I think, in a previous episode, was that Leia was not supposed to be his sister. It was supposed to be some other person you've never met. Because it was supposed to set up the possibility that Luke could possibly die in the final battle.
No, hon, it's not like that at all. You don't understand. Yeah. He's my brother.
Oh no! The best is, I know. I've always known. What were you making out with him before?
Somehow I've always known. Yeah, that makes that really right after we made out, I had this weirdest feeling.
Right before we made out.
Yeah, right.
Marty, this is really weird. When I'm kissing you, it feels like I'm kissing my brother. No, the Metroidians.
Yeah. So then they go to Endor because Han Solo needs to lead a strike team to knock out the shield generator, and they meet the Ewoks. The speeder bike scene is cool as hell.
Yeah.
It was really neat how they made that as well. I remember watching about that, and they basically just took a camera, went through the forest in the Redwoods, and then just high-speeded it up, and that's what you see. It's really cool. We meet the Ewoks. Wicket, who was played by Warwick Davis, and was actually supposed to be Kenny Baker, but Kenny Baker got food poisoning or something like that the night before. Yeah, Warwick Davis probably went, bad dates. Yes. I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Bad dates.
So then Warwick Davis was Wicket, and he's cute. The Ewoks are cute, but it makes you angry as an adult when you learn that it was supposed to be a planet of Wookiees.
Wookiees, that's right. Which they tack into
the reason why Lucas claims they made them Ewoks. He's like, I just took Wookiees and cut them in half because you see Chewbacca. He wanted it to be a totally primitive society. He wanted it to be like basically like Vietnam. It's a Vietnam allegory where like the super technological invading force comes in, the United States, and then the very technologically inferior, fight against them.
I think it's more like American Indian.
Oh, you think it's more like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Americans won that. In Vietnam.
It's the same idea. It's just a culture, a civilization that's kind of...
But he said the reason why they didn't make it, they ended up not making it Wookiees is because you have Chewbacca in the other two movies and he is clearly technologically adept. He keeps the ship together, basically. And he's like, I couldn't really do it like
that. You can't make Wookiees that primitive.
I guess, yeah. That's bullshit. You could have. Yeah. It would have worked great.
Yeah.
Because you've got the fucking AT-ATs. The Wookiees, I don't think, have anything like an AT-AT on their fucking thing. It was cool to see the AT-AT in the forest, though, when they're marching towards the Imperial base. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Chewie.
No, that was ATST.
Oh,
that's
right.
Those are chicken walkers.
You're right.
I'm talking about
the four walkers.
Yeah.
But again, what use is that in a forest?
That's true. It's a terrible, terrible...
It's a terrible machine to put
terrible
in a forest.
Deployed machine.
All it can do is
forest.
Walk around the platform, which is where they put it.
Oh, is that a tree? Well, I'm fucked.
Sorry, guys. Can't go any further.
Well, you can just blow it up. Keep walking.
That was not tactical.
No. That was in the original movie.
Great on Hoth would be great on Tatooine in a forest, not tactical.
It was that was originally in the movie. That was originally in the movie.
That's totally in the movie.
Yeah, that wasn't added
in the original. Yeah, basically Luke, Yoda. He goes to see Yoda.
So let me get this straight.
Okay,
all right. Watching this movie, and he's like, "Yeah, I need to go back and complete my training." So this is the first time he's gone back to Dagobah,
but yet he's a Jedi now.
Yeah, so now he's a
full-on Jedi now. But he's like, no.
Yoda's like, no, you've learned everything. What? No, he was there for like a day, in Dagobah.
Right.
In Empire?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was there for weeks.
He was there for weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, because, so he's a Jedi after weeks.
Because the thing that happens in Star Wars, the one thing they don't do in Star Wars that they do in Star Trek, is that they don't tell you, when they go to jump to light speed, they're not there like in 5 seconds. Like, it takes time to get there, but you know, it, they don't put that in the movie.
Yeah, no, no. They for me at least, they show that he spends time there. It's not a day.
Well, look at him at the end of his training. Empire
Strikes Back. I still don't disagree.
Matt, didn't you read Shadows of the Empire?
I still don't disagree with your point, though. Right?
I don't read those books.
Still, yeah, I mean, not going to read no Star Wars books.
I mean, especially when you look at how a Jedi's made, right? They take them when they're fucking like six, eight. God. You know,
they take the midichlorian test.
No, fuck that. But
they take them when they're a fetus.
They're training them. They're training them.
He's too old.
They're training them from when they're really young, and even when they're in, even when they're 18, they're still just an apprentice.
Yeah.
Luke's just learning as he's 20.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, within weeks, he's a Jedi.
But see, here's the thing.
Like his father before him.
But this is how stupid it is. And this is why you don't explain everything all the time. Is because when they did do Shadows of the Empire, which was, for those who don't know or who are listening, it was this multimedia project that they did in 1998, I think. 96, 98, something like that. And it was a book, it was a video game, it was everything that Star Wars could be except a movie. And literally, it takes place between Empire and Jedi, and literally, at the end of the book, Luke is running down some corridor, and literally it says like, oh, the Force was with him. He was a Jedi then. I mean, that's it.
What?
I swear to God, that's what it is. I remember reading going, what the fuck? And I was like, fuck this book, this is stupid. It was so
like
dumb.
A cop out.
It was a total cop out because nobody knew what it was. But it's you know, so then when they go ahead and make it midichlorians, it just goes to show you don't need to explain it. It's right. the force is
it is what it is.
Yeah,
the force. And Yoda explains it well enough as Obi-Wan exactly. does. That's it. That's all you need to
right.
know. That's all. It's all around.
It's
us.
Gravity.
It's a living force all around.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all we need.
It's gravity and telekinesis. That's what it is. So
it's a living thing.
I don't know. It sounds like a Power Rangers song.
Yeah.
So.
People don't know your music. Sorry, it wasn't a Depeche Mode song I'm referencing.
If you had done an LRB. If it was LRB.
LRB.
I don't know why that was the first time you went back.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is that they were so busy trying to track down Han Solo.
They were coming up with that 10-year plan on getting Solo out with as many people as possible.
Supposedly, it's about a year passes, I think, between. I don't know why.
I mean, it was but pretty good timing too. You know,
but Yoda was bitching.
Happened
at him.
To be that same day that Yoda died. What good timing.
Yoda's bitching at him in Empire, like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Near ready to go, and then at Return of the Jedi, you have learned everything that I could touch.
With
you
seemingly know, nothing happening
with
in between.
Nothing
like,
happens
yeah.
in between.
Like, you don't hear of any adventures of Luke going off and doing other things.
And he's like, first he's like, you can't face Vader. He's so badass. No, this one's
Matt,
like, you must go face Vader.
Matt, excuse me.
Sorry.
He's wearing black now.
Mmm.
That's awesome. That costume
Boom.
Is cool shit.
That costume is cool
I
shit.
Like that. No, I like
but
that.
But it gives you the wrong idea.
It
gives
it
you
does.
The impression that he's some Jedi badass now. What's he done?
Nothing.
Nothing. But then the Emperor kind of proves that he's not.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I don't know. He kind of kicks the shit out of Darth Vader.
That's the whole thing, though. Which, this is the one thing that's really awesome about
Jedi.
I
get the feeling that Vader is only half-heartedly fighting him anyway.
There's that, but it's also Vader is weakened because of his condition. So the Emperor is like, because
he's kind of already on his
he's
downfall.
Already on his downfall. So so the Emperor is like, either way, I win. If Darth Vader wins, then he kills this threat to me. If Luke wins, then I get a fully human guy who has the Force
but again,
and I can make him my dude.
Whether it's right or not, Darth Vader clearly conflicted. They set that
yeah.
up. And,
yeah.
And, you know,
well, that was during
there is no conflict.
The pacification of Darth Vader.
Right. Correct. So they already set that up. So you know he doesn't want. To
it is too late for me. My
he
son.
Doesn't want to kill his son.
Yeah.
There's so much heavy-handed stuff in this one.
There is, but I mean, but at the same time, you know,
there are lots of cool imagery.
Yeah,
I love.
No, there's a lot of great.
I love the imagery of the fight.
Yeah,
and I love the Emperor using
the lightning.
Why is he the only fucking one?
Yeah, I know.
Why don't every other people have lightning?
Yeah, that's why
you
gotta watch.
Level up to Emperor to get
no,
the lightning
this is why you have to watch the Plinkett reviews because he mentions that in episode two. He's like, I thought it was just that the Emperor was so evil that he could use this lightning. No, he's like, no, Dooku can use it. Apparently, you just have to get the Force level 52, and then you can fucking use it.
Right.
He's like, it's fucking stupid.
Why doesn't Yoda have that? Why doesn't anyone? But I do like that. We're just like,
yeah.
No, that was cool when it came out. It's like, holy shit, that guy's badass. Right.
And Luke, and Luke's like, help me, please! I know I was beating the shit out of you!
For 5 seconds, he's badass.
Yeah, but you, and I like seeing...
Spoiler alert, until he's thrown down a fucking air tunnel.
Oh, we'll get to that. Oh, my God.
So, no, I don't know why they did that with Luke. I don't know. I remember one of the last things they said that had to happen to become... You had to build your own lightsaber, which he did. While he was on Tatooine. And there's actually a cut scene where he was finishing the lightsaber and then he gives it to R2-D2 to take. I like this. I mean, aside from that, I did like the scene with Yoda. I liked Yoda being like finally admitting. He's like, is he my father? Oh, I gotta rest. Yeah. I gotta rest.
Oh, I'm so tired.
And then he's like, yes, he is. Because he knew if he told him he wouldn't go fight him. He might be trouble to go
get him. I can't kill my daddy.
The Obi-Wan was a total cop out scene.
I do like you know, they want to play Luke as a badass, but he's still so fucking stupid, super naive. You know, like Darth Vader has built an entire ship that has blown up a planet. You're like, I still sense good in him. I can change him.
Right underneath that layer where he killed 50 children.
Right. Yeah. He's killed children and destroyed an entire planet.
Number one, I sense that he's still good deep down. Number one.
What?
He didn't know he killed children at that point. Number two, he didn't blow up the planet. Tarkin blew up the planet.
Whatever. His Death Star, his plan.
It wasn't his. No, it was
the Emperor.
It was the Emperor and Tarkin. Darth Vader was just the henchman in that. He was just the muscle.
He could have done nothing
to stop, you know.
Yeah. I can't stop
some
him.
Human being standing in front of him, like pushing a button.
Hey, there's chain of command here, everybody.
Yeah. So where did you get the idea? I've seen this movie how many times, but where do you get the idea that Vader's on his last legs?
No. Just meaning that he is like he's more machine now than man. Like so, what they say is
he's been that way since.
I know that. But what the thing is that if he's the only Jedi left, basically, you know, so like. They said that, I don't know where Lucas said this, they said it somewhere where it's like someone who is like fully like has the force, because it's a living force, and he's half machine, so he's going to be his powers are going to be diminished, as opposed to, and then Obi-Wan Kenobi was old.
I even take it to the end, but granted, you can read the end just as pure he was completely worn down because of the lightning Nicholas.
Yes.
Oh no. He's talking about why he was able to beat the shit out of Vader, and then you know he can't.
No. Why Vader was so worn down? Felt he was worn down. What you said, right? I said, well, at the end he says, you know, I know this is the end for me anyway. But you could argue that's literally because of what just happened.
Yes. But I'm saying that Luke was actually more powerful than Vader.
I can buy the because.
He's young. He's young and he has control of the force, and like because it's a living thing, the force is a living thing, it makes sense that somebody who is wholly himself would have more control over it probably than he would be able to tap into it better than somebody who's half machine.
Well, plus that's kind of just part of that prophecy.
Well, how do you explain Grievous?
That was kind of just part of that prophecy.
Grievous doesn't have the force.
He just had lightsabers.
He just had four lightsabers.
They just taught him how to fight with it. We'll get to that. You can argue that
you know Luke is just that prophecy. He was always going to be stronger because he was fulfilling that part of that prophecy, right? Just like Vader did.
No, Vader fulfilled the prophecy.
But Luke was also
part of
the later prophecy. Yes, he was. Emperor said so. This is the one that's going. He was. Emperor saw Luke as being stronger anyway. Because the Emperor said,
No, but the prophecy, you mean the prophecy in the prequels?
No, two different things. I'm comparing them. Yeah. Yeah, there's a prophecy in the prequels where, they saw the Emperor originally sees Vader as the one. But then in Jedi, Emperor refers to Luke as, you know, we will turn him dark. I have foreseen it.
Right.
So that's the prophecy.
No, but what I'm talking about is the prophecy when they say the balance of the Force.
Oh, yeah.
That's all about Vader.
Yeah,
that's all about him.
That's Vader, yeah.
Because it was all good, then he made it all bad, and then he killed the Emperor, and he made it even again.
Yeah, it's a stupid prophecy.
It is stupid, because there was no reason to have it.
No.
There's no reason to have it. It's, I don't know, he tried
bring
to make
balance it. To the Force.
Where's that written now?
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, Blinkett. Who wrote it? Who made this? Yeah. Who came up with this prophecy? Yoda? Was it Mace Windu? I don't know. movie's stupid. I don't want to talk about the Phantom Menace. This movie sucks.
But yeah, this movie clearly the worst of them.
Oh yeah,
on so many different levels, on every different level.
Yeah, I did like the trying to cook Han Solo scene. That was funny. When they're trying to cook Han Solo.
Oh,
that was funny. Yeah. That was funny. And I loved R2-D2's reaction when they finally untie him, and his first instinct is zap the shit out of this little fucker. And then Wicket tries to look inside. He goes, "No!" You hate the Ewoks.
I do.
So much.
I hate the Ewoks. Really, you know, there are some really good things about the movie. The final fight being the best part.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because there's so much emotion in that final fight.
Emotion, yeah. And the colors are all right. You know, yeah. You got this dark backdrop, yeah. And then you just see the two lightsabers glowing, going yeah. at it.
Well, that's like on Cloud City, like that's so in the carbon freezing chamber.
So good.
But the other thing is about the ending.
And the Emperor just sitting back with that window in the background,
looking off. I don't know why this always bothered me, but whenever Luke's like staring out the window at like his friends getting, you know, killed in the space battle, the Emperor's like talking to him, but he's like looking over here. He's like looking off to the right, and Luke is clearly to his left. But when they cut to the Emperor, he's like staring off to the right, and he won't blink his eyes. And he's like, "Yeah, strike me down." And like, why are you talking to Vader? Vader's
he's
the guy on
your
right.
D-bag. He's such a D-bag.
He's such a douche.
He's just like, he's like,
I'm so evil, I won't even stare you in the eye.
I mean, Ian McDermott.
Clash, like, lightsabers in front of him, he's still staring, like,
he's like, ha, 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 ha. Ian McDermott was so good in that part. He was so good.
And whenever Luke finally beat down Vader, you know, he chopped his arm
off. Chopped the arm off.
And he's sitting there, like, huffing and puffing, standing over his. And the Emperor's like, good, good.
He's clapping.
Yeah,
he's like,
clapping. It's like a gladiator's
thing. But then Luke's like,
yeah.
Nah, you failed, Your Highness. And then the switch that takes place on his face, he's like,
so be it.
So be it.
No. That's when they cut back to the space
fight. Then they cut back.
The switch on his face. Yeah. Like, ha-ha.
I get why they did it. I get why they did it because of this movie. Yeah, clearly, for younger, they made this for a little bit younger.
Definitely tries to appeal
and to sell more toys. Yeah.
Yeah, but like the, you know, kind of didn't need the browbeating down of the imagery of Luke's hand,
yeah.
Vader's hand, Luke's hand.
And he does that once. Vader's hand. He does it once. He looks at his hand. He looks at his hand, and they cut the hand.
I was like, that was a gift.
I thought that was fine. Because they had to have a beat where he was kind of coming out of it. Because he was all the way there, yeah. And they had to have a beat where he had to come out of that trance he was in.
He didn't have to. He could have just been badass.
He could have just killed him and then, I am bad! Fuck it! Let's destroy the galaxy.
I will rule the world! And then he kills the Emperor.
Balance
and
this,
then,
bitch!
And then he has this massive Death Star that he can do whatever the fuck he wants with!
And he's like, pew, 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 pew.
Let's blow up Tatooine! I hate that place!
Yeah. Turn it to glass!
Hey, Jabba!
I'll blow you up again, Jabba! I'll blow you up twice, motherfucker! You fat fuck! I hate your face! Feed me to your pet! I'll kill you, bitch.
Blow up his ashes.
Let's talk about what is inarguably the greatest space battle ever put to film, which is the Return of Jedi battle. That space battle is amazing. And especially when you're watching it, even the special editions where they did nothing to it. They didn't touch it at all. And
it
still
holds up perfect.
Models and Matt, it's fucking incredible. It's such a great battle.
That's the way it should be done.
Like that one shot when they go, fighters coming in, and then all those TIE fighters are coming at the screen, and it's fucking, oh my God, it's so amazing. Just really, 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 just a great, great space battle.
Like I said, there's a lot of good imagery in this movie. It's
move your feet away from the Death Star.
A lot of the other stuff just falls completely wayside here.
Yeah, I think it's the environments too, because like, you know, like we said, Muppet Palace, and then you got the Death Star, which we've seen already. Although the Death Star was cool, the second Death Star was cool. And then they go to the forest. There's no real, like, aside from the Death Star, there's no real sci-fi feel to
it.
It's more, and that's basically because Lucas was like, yeah, we're gonna film in the desert in California. We're gonna film in the Redwoods, and we'll do some stage work in London. That's it. Because I don't feel like going anywhere. In the next movies, I'm going to sit behind a monitor all the time and drink coffee. Yeah. And they're going to be great. Not.
It's like poetry.
It's like poetry at Ryan. The other thing I loved about is that I love how the Emperor and Darth Vader and Luke and Darth Vader are having all these like super secret conversations, like stuff that people aren't supposed to know. There's all these fucking dudes hanging around. Like, there's all these stormtroopers hanging around. Did you hear what he just fucking called Darth Vader? He just called him dad. And the Emperor's like,
seen the last movie?
You're gonna go fight Skywalker. He will come to you. The guy's walking behind him. I'm not sure he's like, what the fuck are they talking about? It's like all these people are like, what the fuck? But it's like a big secret, you know, when he reveals it to Leia. You know, like, you know. Of course, we should talk about the scene where he reveals the truth to Leia that he is her brother. They're twins. And I love how, in retrospect, I love how Leia was able to remember all that about her mother when she died right after she was born.
Immediately did.
She died during childbirth.
Immediately died in childbirth, but somehow remembers being suckling on her.
Way to go, Lucas. Yeah. Way to fuck that up.
Continuity, baby.
Yeah, what if she was talking about her adopted
mother? No, because he says, your real mother.
It's clear what they're talking about, because he sets it up by saying, I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember my mother.
I don't remember my mother.
Because she was never there. That's Obi-Wan's boy.
I have it. My father had it. And my sister has it.
Oh, I think I always knew.
And I love
even when I planted my tongue in your mouth.
You read the script too?
I love when she reveals the truth to Han Solo. And again, this might have been just my addition that I had. When Harrison Ford actually says, "Well, I'm glad they neatly resolved that plot point." I don't know. Was that in your version?
Yeah, that was the movie? Was it in the special version?
The Doug edition.
Yeah, the Doug edition. It's like that. That's also my Doug edition of Titanic at the end when Billy Zane rows by and goes, "I told you I always win, Jack," and then he just rows away in the boat, laughing, maniacally laughing.
I don't remember what I saw. I don't remember what I was watching recently, but they were talking about Titanic, and they're like, the guys arguing about, you know, Jack being gallant and, you know, saving Rose and how they couldn't have lived. And he's like, and then someone's like, well, couldn't we just taken turns?
Yeah, right.
And, and then the guy's like, that's a good point. She's quite a bitch.
Yeah.
Was that Keen Peele?
Maybe it was Keen
Peele. It sounds like a Keen Peele sketch.
It was really funny.
Did you see the Gremlins one?
Oh, hell yeah.
I saw the Gremlins one. Anyway, it's funny. That Gremlin is in the movie.
No idea is bad here. What you got?
It sounds like they did that for the prequels.
We got a gremlin that's made entirely out of electricity. Print that up.
But like I said, I did like the moments between, you know, Han and Leia in this. You could tell that there was that scene when he comes out and he's like, you know, could you tell Luke? Is that you could tell Larry Kasdan wrote that scene because he's like, yes, I'm getting my love story in there. It's like, you know.
So behind the scenes,
yes.
You know more about this than I do.
I do.
How much of a hand did Lucas have in this movie as compared to... I know he didn't have that much.
Oh, you're kidding me? Oh, you're kidding me?
But
he co-wrote the screenplay with Larry Kasdan.
Okay, that's all I need to know.
And because he quit the Directors Guild and the Writers Guild, because he wanted to... Back then, I don't think it's a big deal anymore because Star Wars broke the mold, basically. But back then, because he didn't want to put the credits in front of the title... the Directors Guild is like, okay, we'll let it go for Star Wars, but you have to do it for Empire Strikes Back. And Lucas is like, well, fuck you. I'm going to make the movie I want to make the way I want to make it. I quit the Directors Guild. That's why Irvin Kershner directed Empire Strikes Back, because Irvin Kershner wasn't in the Directors Guild.
Right.
Lucas wanted Spielberg to direct Return of the Jedi. He wanted Spielberg.
Oh, man.
And he couldn't because Spielberg was in the Directors Guild. The Directors Guild would not let Spielberg direct it. So he had to find a guy who wasn't in the guild who could direct it. Richard Marquand came in and directed. I believe he was sick at the time, or I forget when he died, but I think it was shortly after Return of the Jedi came out. Other fun fact, he's one of the AT-ST drivers that Chewbacca pulls out of the thing, the director. So Lucas also kind of like co-directed it, but he doesn't have any credit on it. He kind of co-directed too. That's why a lot of stuff.
So a lot, yes. That's why a lot of this felt like the
one more thing.
I thought you meant this upcoming movie.
Like, oh,
no. Return of the Jedi.
One more thing about Return of the Jedi. You will also not find Gary Kurtz's name anywhere in and around Return of the Jedi. That's the other reason why. He was the guy who would tell Lucas, that's stupid, don't do that.
He was kind of the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. Sorely missed.
Yeah, there you go.
It blows my mind that people think that this is the best Star Wars movie.
My friend Jack does. Hi, Jack.
I don't understand it. No. I'm not saying you got to hate the movie. I don't hate the movie. No. I don't understand how you could see the first two and say, nope, this is the best one.
Yeah.
It's definitely number three of all three movies. All three Star Wars movies.
That exists.
It's number three, yeah. And it takes a big number two.
Yes, it does. There's an imitation of number two.
That's my business.
That's my business. Let's talk about, we kind of touched on the musical number that's in Jabba's Palace, which is atrocious. Because the other one was fine. The other one was fine. Size Noodles and the Max Rebo Band.
What was wrong with it?
You know, it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It was just a couple seconds of the band.
Yeah.
Explain to me what was going through his head that he thought this is what needs to change.
And then the ultimate bullshit was turning her to a complete cartoon character when she went, whoa! Yeah. I was like, oh my God. Although, this was cool about when they put in new scenes into Jedi and Jabba's Palace. They got the same girl to play Ula, who was the dancer.
Yeah,
they got the same girl.
But why?
I don't know. I'm just saying. It's neat that they gave
her a
job.
I mean, it was cool that I saw that she had been rehired. But why? Do we need to see her reaction to the Rancor?
No.
No.
Let's talk about the end. Because after that scene, the majority of stuff that's added is at the end. Now you said. Now I don't have it on Blu-ray because I know now that Disney has bought them, we will get the original.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I'm waiting until that comes out, but I have it on. I bought the 2004 DVDs, mm-hmm. which came with the originals on the bonus DVD.
Oh.
Wow. Or did I buy them separately? I can't remember. Nice. But the point
I have
is
the digital version.
You have the digital version, which is the final edition as of right now.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you have the Blu-ray.
Yes.
So I don't have the part where when Darth Vader picks the Emperor up and he starts screaming no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have that.
It's okay. So it's embarrassingly
it's
bad.
It's there.
It's cool that I don't have that.
They added it after the fact. Because whenever in the original movie, Vader's looking at Luke, he's looking at the Emperor, and you see him go back and forth a couple of times, and then he picks up the Emperor and
he just picks
him
up and
it was real quick, one movie.
Yeah.
And he's going, ah!
So you see him making the decision.
Right.
You don't need to hear him going, what's going on? What's he doing?
What do I want to do?
And then, so in the special edition, they dub in him going, no. No,
oh, right, like
so bad.
It's exactly what you said. They give voice to his reasoning there, but you don't need that.
No, you don't. You
like anybody was confused at that point. What's he doing? What's going through his mind? No.
I think that was like his arthritis acting up or something.
I don't want to drop him.
It's a call out to or call out. It's the same no that's at the end of Revenge of the Sith. It's the exact same no.
And that was the worst reveal.
That was one of the most embarrassing
they
things.
They killed the reveal of Darth Vader with that.
No.
It looked like it was just like,
you killed
it. This soundstage is empty right now if we want to do this real quick. Can we get you, Emperor, over here just laughing maniacally real quick?
Hank Griffin's like, this Darth Vader outfit doesn't fit. Shut up and say you're right.
Just say it.
No. They took that no they dubbed it onto Vader in Return of the Jedi.
Could we just get a giant spotlight right here real quick? I think there's even like a mop and broom handle in the back because it's just like a little janitor closet they do.
He looks like Darth Helmet in Spaceballs in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And then you have the scene. Well, we'll get to that last. They inserted the celebration scenes, which was in the special editions. And that was basically the reason why they did that was to basically introduce Naboo and Coruscant to people before the prequels.
And I even get that also because it also shows you a grander scope of the Empire falling, a celebration on multiple.
However, does it make sense that they would celebrate on Coruscant?
No,
it makes no sense.
That
planet, like, and they point this out in the Red Letter Media stuff too. They're like, they point out that Coruscant never really shows any signs that the war is going on or anything.
They're doing their own thing.
But like the war that's in the Clone War is going on for 10 years. It doesn't really show any, it wasn't that long. It was like 3 years or something like that. But it doesn't show, nothing really happens on Coruscant that like shows that people are suffering there and that stuff.
They're not impressed by the Empire.
They probably love the Empire.
It's no different than say, you know,
we are aware that in Africa there's genocide going on.
Right.
But if it ended today, we're not going to massively be like, yeah, because it's just distant from us. It's,
right.
it's the same idea that yeah, the whole planet as a whole is not going to have parades and streamers like they would on
people
like,
in
say
the streets.
And the other thing indoor. I think that's going to happen.
And anyway, indoor wouldn't give a fuck either because they were just doing their own little thing anyway. You could argue
well,
they got sucked in because that's where.
Well, the Ewoks were celebrating because
they
built this ugly moon in the sky. right. But it seems like J.J. Abrams is going to destroy those little scenes when he's going to be like, yeah, the Emperor didn't really die just because the Emperor died. He's like, there's still a massive military out there.
A giant military that will be filled by somebody,
yeah.
And there's still
there's
gonna
be a power vacuum.
Yeah. So that one on Coruscant was stupid. There was also a theory that was going around online. Somebody screams like "Son of Sons" or something like that, and people think that they're referring to Darth Vader or something like that. How he would know his origin? I don't. Yeah, you got to listen real close.
Where
it's,
during the like
during the Coruscant scene.
Huh.
Somebody was like, son of sons. And like people thought that like that tied into the prophecy and Darth Vader and all this shit. I don't know.
No, I didn't hear it.
Then we come to the most egregious addition to
the special
editions. When they take out poor Sebastian Shaw, the guy who played Darth Vader in the suit when they took the helmet off. And he showed up as an old man, as a ghost with Obi-Wan and Yoda. No, instead, they put in Hayden Christensen, that Luke has never seen in his entire fucking life, but is supposed to know that that's his father.
Yeah.
And they put him in, and he looks very awkward standing there as they filmed him on a soundstage 30 years in the future.
He's like, hey, buddy, who are you?
It's terrible. It's fucking terrible.
Not to mention the fact that even in the original, why is that fucker there anyway? He still killed many, many people, blew up a whole planet, and yet somehow he has redemption just for saving one little fuck.
Yeah.
Well, he did destroy the Emperor as well.
Yeah.
the epitome of evil in the universe.
But
for
no, that is the most egregious thing that
yeah.
was
yeah.
done.
And it doesn't make any sense at all.
No,
it's like,
there's no reason for it.
They
why
all come back in the state where they died anyway.
Right, you don't see Obi-Wan. You don't see them bringing
it's not
in
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan
yeah.
McGregor, you're right. No, that's because you're not going to fucking
it's
do
not,
that to Sir Alec Guinness.
Right.
Why. But
yeah.
No, yeah, you still see, yeah, there he is.
They don't bring back the
CGI
model.
It's how you died. That's how he died. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't get a youthful.
In fact, he should have been sitting on the log with Yoda because he had no legs and no arms.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the argument is that it's because
say that's the last time he was good because he turns good at the end.
Well,
when he
that's
the
what I was thinking. Unless you argue that was the last time he was a true Jedi.
Whatever. Who
right?
cares?
Oh no, that sounds like
know.
Lewis. Lucas talking.
It's
to
just
right there.
Dumb. It's just dumb. It's just Lucas having a brain fart of an idea at the end there,
yeah,
and then going with it.
I need to tie this closer
to
my.
I need
prequels.
To justify the prequels.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
There was a comic that Dark Horse did where they did like alternate versions of the movies where like different stuff happened and like it's like an alternate history kind of thing. And at the end, Darth Vader lives, and when he comes out at the end, the last panel is him in like a. It's the Darth Vader suit, but it's white and not black. And like he became good and joined them. And I was like, that's an interesting take on it.
Mm. Let's not forget what we talked about earlier, the replacement of the Nub Nub song.
Yes, they did replace the Nub Nub song, which will be in this
those
podcast.
Bastards.
The Nub Nub song will be in the podcast.
Those bastards.
Nub Nub.
And then they just replaced it. They literally replaced it with like the score from the prequels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. More justification for him.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's
the song.
Oh, that's all.
That,
oh, you're right.
That's
the end. Yeah.
The end of that's what. They, that's
it was,
more or less.
It
was it that
was,
score.
No, it was. No, it was more like a kind of like it was kind of like a.
It was more orchestral.
It was.
Yeah,
I'm just,
more orchestral.
I'm just saying it was that. It was in that vein. Whereas you know the Nub Nub song is timeless.
But once
eternal.
Again, it felt so out of place at the
yeah.
end of that movie. It's like.
That might also be as nostalgia though. Somebody just watched Return of the Jedi, they wouldn't miss the Nub Nub song. They'd be like, okay, that's the end of the song. It's fine. Look, I
you.
Love the Nub Nub song.
How dare you besmirch the name of
you,
the Nub Nub song?
I love the Nub Nub song. It's going to be in the podcast. because I have the original soundtrack.
Not until I do the special edition of this podcast. I'm going to erase it.
Next podcast is on the Life Day special.
Oh, God. So Return of the Jedi. The end is great. The end is great, Return of the Jedi. The final space battle.
First
two-thirds are just okay.
Again, we're this is a simple comparison of the three. As a unit of a whole, it's still a good movie.
Yeah.
I mean, just in the grand scope of movies.
Right.
But this is clearly the worst.
Compared to the other two, it's clearly the worst.
Yeah, because the first one is just a solid standalone movie that has kind of a little bit of everything. It's got a solid origin story, and it builds to a good action, and then a closing, and then Empire.
Just the greatest movie ever made.
Just the best of everything. great plot, story. It's got the best evil element.
Yeah.
And then you have
Jedi. Which
Revenge of the Jedi. No, wait. A Jedi would never kill.
I have a hat that says Revenge of the Jedi, or a patch or something like that from the fan club.
Revenge of the Jedi. Yeah, so if you're not aware, the original title
was supposed to be Revenge of the Jedi.
And then Lucas realized, hey, a Jedi, that's not what they do.
A Jedi wouldn't take revenge, which is why.
Which is right.
Agreed. But that's why the third one's also called Revenge of the Sith. And all Jedi really does is just make you question, what happened to Carrie Fisher?
Nice.
Yeah.
No, one thing, we were talking about this earlier before the podcast. This is sort of the first time where audiences got a taste of the disappointing third movie in the trilogy.
Yes.
So it's like, this was the first big...
Apparently not everyone did.
Big trilogy.
Yeah.
And then so we got our first taste of the...
Yeah.
So that didn't end too well.
You didn't stick the landing.
Yeah, couldn't stick the landing.
Oh, very ending.
Yeah, the very ending they did. But
if you take the movie as a whole,
they had to take some points off during the routine, though.
Yes, for sure.
There was definitely wobbling during the dismount.
This guy's wise.
So is this also like the first blatant racism that Lucas showed in the Star Wars movies?
Yeah,
for who, the Ewoks?
Well, there's Ewoks, and then there's the co-pilot for Lando.
You know
what's
his name?
Ning-Num.
Yeah.
That's not even a guy. That's a puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So was Watto or no? You know, he's CGI. But God, I was just, come on, man.
Who are we talking about?
Huh?
Oh, you talk Watto.
Yeah. Well, pretty much anybody.
But just like a redneck.
You got the Chinese people in the beginning.
What is Ning Nam? What is he?
Yes, Matt.
Tell us.
Yes, author Matt.
Tell
King.
Us.
somebody told me he was. I believe it was Doug.
Hearsay.
No, yeah. They're like a mouse type people is what they are. That's why he's got those big black eyes.
He was sounding very, I would say, Asian. The sound of his voice.
I don't think he's racist, because when you have the prequels, where you have those guys, what's going on here? Yeah. They were super racist.
Yeah.
At least this guy isn't speaking English.
Sort of like the shade, it's what's come, you know, shades of what's to come with Lucas in the prequels.
I completely agree. If you watch this movie today, you will see like.
That's what happened.
This is you're seeing him delve into the prequels here.
Well, I mean, he had that role for Chris Christie, where he had him dress up in that green costume, and he worked in Jabba's palace. He got eaten by the Rancor, the pig guard, the Gamorrean guards. He's Chris Christie, it's come on, people. Luke was already at the dark side when he walked in that place. He starts choking people left and right. He's force choking people.
He's already got the dark.
I don't remember Yoda teaching him force choke on Dagobah. He just walks in. He's like kill.
He didn't kill them though. He just pushed them back.
The force was working.
Yeah, but they didn't come running in going, "Hey, boss, he just tried to kill me." You know,
it's because they were scared of him.
They're dead. Is what it is.
He was. Yeah, they weren't dead.
How do you know?
Because he pushed him against the wall, and then like he keeps walking. They're like, arr. You can see they're not dead, though. They don't die. They don't fall to the floor dead.
I think
he doesn't kill them.
he just what temporarily chokes him until
because he basically knock him out because like they come at him with their weapons and then he chokes him and then they drop their weapons.
Why does he have to choke them? Are they not susceptible to mind tricks?
I don't know.
Again, this is the fourth question that will
you could
use that for any.
Why doesn't Obi-Wan Kenobi run real fast to stop Darth Maul from killing his master?
Right when he can.
Yeah.
He's like got the flash type of speed.
Was he afraid he was going to fall into the pit if he did that?
It's very hard to control. Hard to control. You could have fallen off.
The Jedi
I don't
run,
have any leg brakes.
The Jedi can run real fast when the script calls for it.
It's true. That was never bestowed on any other Jedi ever.
You know why they did that? Because in the video game you could do it. The Phantom Menace video game, which actually wasn't bad. Phantom Menace video game actually wasn't that bad.
Didn't you know they made one?
They did.
Neither would Darth Maul. I still love him as a baddie.
He should have been the
Darth Vader of the series.
We will talk about all that.
Oh God! All
right. On our next Star Wars podcast, which we will
finally. Why didn't we do the prequels first, Doug?
Because we did the best ones first. We did the best ones first, and then we did them in the order you should watch them.
And so now we're going to talk about the fan fiction.
But there's actually. Where you actually get some form of a reveal instead of just linear plot points.
Yeah.
That leads to no twist whatsoever.
Some people have been saying that about J.J. Abrams, the new movie. People are calling it that. They're calling it fan fiction.
Oh, stop.
My one concern about this new movie is with J.J. Abrams. I like J.J. Abrams. I think he's a good director. But looking at what he did with Star Trek, he did a little bit too much on the fan service side. With Star Trek, I'm worried that he's going to try to do with Star Wars.
He may do that, but here's the thing with Star Trek. First of all, number one, he didn't write those. That was Orson and Kurtzman.
He's also on this project. He is accepting a lot of outside influence.
Yeah,
good.
Because Lawrence Kasdan is writing it.
Yeah.
And
Lawrence Kasdan also wrote Return of the Jedi.
He co-wrote it with George Lucas.
Yeah,
so
he co-wrote this movie too.
I know.
Yeah,
but.
I don't want to give him a free pass just because
we're not giving him a free pass yet. But the other thing is with Star Trek, what he did with Star Trek is basically try to turn it into Star Wars. Now he is doing Star Wars. So
I truly believe
he didn't understand Star
Trek. However this turns out, from everything I've read so far, I truly believe he's trying to do service to Star Wars.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think
now how it turns out, we will see. But I think he has nothing but the best intentions in mind to do this correctly.
It sounds like he really wants to do a great job with this movie. He understands the importance that in cinema.
He understands that the prequels will not be considered in this movie whatsoever.
No. Oh my God. Yeah, I feel so bad for him that he might have to reference something that happened.
The
other thing you can also say with this one is that the ultimate fan service is already done.
Yeah, making
is that Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill are in it.
Yeah,
and Peter Mayhew and Fantasy. The fact that they're in it is already fan service enough.
Well,
I think.
Yeah, but that was one of the things that concerned me because they weren't in the original Episode 7 script, right?
It doesn't matter. They scrapped all of that.
I know, but he was part of that scrapping.
No, he wasn't.
I thought that
He scrapped it, but what happened was Michael Arndt wrote it, and then they just got rid of all of it, and they just rewrote the whole thing.
Yeah. So when I say that my only concern with him is that he's going to lean too far into fan service, that's when it started, is when he scrapped the original script and brought in Han Solo, Leia, Luke.
I think they were in the original one. He definitely gave Han Solo a bigger role. I think Han Solo plays a much bigger role in this than people know. I think it's going to be okay because everything I've read, he focuses a lot on all the new people.
Good.
He talks about Finn, he talks about Rey, he talks about Kylo Ren, he talks about them.
He even said
my favorite character in the whole thing is Phasma. Because I like her the best, it's like, so I think there will be like a level of fan service in it just because the three of them are in it. But I think that
the story's
going to come first. Yes. I think,
yes,
yeah,
because you have to remember, this is supposed to be the springboard
exactly
to,
right
to
the next two.
You can't put the people you're trying to build up in the next movies in the background of this movie. You have to develop them a lot.
Yeah.
You have to learn to love them just like, you know, we learned to love Luke and Han and Leia.
I feel a lot more positive about this movie, of course, than I did about the prequels. But
it's easy to say that now, sir.
But after the Phantom Menace,
I was pretty fucking excited about them prequels.
I'm saying after the Phantom Menace,
every damn time I was.
Poor bastard. But after watching Into Darkness, and just seeing Doug's loves that movie.
I hate that movie.
I can't even call it an homage to Wrath of Khan. It is a straight up ripoff.
Yeah,
It's plagiarism. It's straight up plagiarism.
It is straight up plagiarism.
You know, when I saw that movie, I had not seen Wrath of Khan.
Oh,
and I borrowed it from Doug, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
The thing is that's the main thing I take away from Star Trek, is that he tried to make it more like Star Wars. He tried to make it more action oriented and all that stuff, but he did not write those Star Trek movies. That was Orson Kurtzman, and as we know, they are the fucking
devil. They're the worst.
They suck. Yeah. Everything they touch turns to shit. So much so that Roberto Orci was like, "I want to do Star Trek 3 and be the director," and Paramount said, "No." Yeah. And
they straight up turned his ass down.
They turned his ass down. They turned his script down. They got Simon Pegg to come in and help write the script. Closed the doors on
that
guy.
They did. They shut him down hard.
Another thing is,
I think he was originally on it. Like, he had written everything and he was getting ready to direct it.
Yeah. Then they said they didn't want a script.
Well, yeah, they hadn't, like, necessarily commissioned
He was in talks
to
do
it.
It.
He was just kind of, in talks and showing them what.
Oh, okay. Because I thought they announced him as the director.
No.
But it was very public when they told him no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that part I remember.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg also apparently was the other thing. Simon Pegg is a huge Star Wars fan.
Yeah. He's been upset.
J.J. Abrams used him as a sounding board to say, what about this?
That's part of what I was talking about when I said he's looking at outside influences.
Right. So Simon Pegg is the Gary Kurtz on this one.
And that's great. And that's great.
That's fine with me.
He's in it, too.
None better than Simon Pegg. I love that guy.
The big rumor is also that Daniel Craig shows up as a stormtrooper, but Daniel Craig's like, I wouldn't do that. That's fine. But then they're like, I think he was half kidding when he was like being like a total jerk about it, but maybe not, because Daniel Craig is kind of see Daniel Craig being a total asshole in real life.
I just want to see the cameo go something like this. You just see this line of stormtroopers, and then you just see one of them go, wink, lift up their hat, wink, a little wink, and then put it back down. As it's panning through the crowd.
Then he shoots a gun into the camera and the blood comes down.
The one thing I didn't know real quick before.
It would miss the camera, because he's a
stormtrooper.
He's
a stormtrooper. Go off the side.
I was reading about how, I guess it was Entertainment Weekly or something like that. I was reading about how when Harrison Ford came back to the set and all this stuff, people were like, oh yeah, Harrison Ford's back. Yeah, this is crazy. And like, people were real quiet when he first stepped on the set. And something I didn't realize is that I didn't realize how close he really was with Peter Mayhew.
Who?
Chewbacca. I didn't realize.
I know who Peter Mayhew is. Who did you say was close?
Harrison Ford.
I didn't.
Who?
Lando Calrissian. No. It's Billy Dee Williams. No. Harrison Ford. I didn't realize how close they were as friends. I didn't realize either. Because I always thought he was kind of like Chewbacca, whatever. Yeah, whatever. And he was closer with Mark and Carrie. But it was interesting. Because he said, like, when they first came
in. Which makes sense. Because they're always the pair together.
Right.
It makes sense.
Right. Oh, no, it does. But I mean, he's going, they're not really playing off each other.
That was even off camera, because he was Mayhew was very method. So for the few months period, that's all he did.
He's such a nice man.
He couldn't order food or anything.
I met him at a con. He's a very, very nice man. He's very, very nice. Gigantic. His hands are huge. His hands are as big as his table.
Banana stalk sailor.
That'll do it for Return of the Jedi. We want to thank Matt for coming by again. We will probably see him.
You should.
And we'll probably see him very, very soon when we talk about the Phantom Menace.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Hey, thanks.
Happy birthday, Matt. Yay. Let's go to the teddy bar.
My birthday present to you. You're allowed in my house.
Wow. That is a present.
Next episode is actually going to be our second anniversary episode.
If you say so.
Because I pay the bill. So But we're gonna do our best and worst of the summer of 2015.
Well, fuck! I better get on that. I guess
you better get on that. That's our That's because we started on Labor Day weekend, and that'll be our next episode, recorded Labor Day weekend. And then probably after that, we'll probably have you back for the Phantom Man-Ass. Yeah, that's right. You got to watch it again.
Oh, no, I don't.
You got to watch it again.
I've already watched it recently.
God. Why? Willingly?
Trey.
Oh, Trey.
Hey.
Oh, that's right.
Let's watch the Star Wars movie. Cool, man. Let's start with the prequels. Oh, yeah?
Get out of my house.
You think?
Get out of my house.
Again, I do not like the prequels, but I don't hold them as such as things as you.
Well, it's going
to
change.
Wait till you leave these podcasts. All right. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
See you, folks.